following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome back to Corolla Classics for Sunday, December 5th, 2021. The show where we're going to highlight some classic Adam Corolla Show moments. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Corolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, Chris. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you, Gio. Why don't we pick up where we left off yesterday and get Brian Posehn in studio to join Teresa and Brian from a clip we have from August of 2010.
That sounds absolutely smashing. Yeah. It's Adam Corolla Show 384, Part 2, with Brian Posehn in studio. There's a portion where they play a bit of his metal song. It's pretty good, but if you're not in the mood for metal music in the middle of your comedy podcast, it's just a short portion, and it leads into a much funnier extended rant about Kenny Rogers and some of those songs people love so much. Check it out.
He's on deck.
Ah, hi, Brian.
Hey.
How are you? Have a seat. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You look, I don't want to use the word fit.
Well, for me.
But for you, you look
I'm
trim.
Working on it. Yeah, yeah.
And
I have a kid and I don't want to die on him.
Oh, really? Well, if you die on him, he's going
to. No, I'm not literally,
yeah.
but.
You roll over on that kid, he's rolling over too.
Brian, how old is your kid?
15 months.
Oh, congratulations.
And I told you it wasn't gay, T.
No, I...
Just because you're over 6'9 and 300 pounds, you haven't attempted to have sex with our team. Assume that everyone in the NBA is gay. Every power forward in the NBA is gay.
Is that your thing? The big fellas? Well,
For a while there.
Yeah.
AG, you know, he's a bigger guy.
Yes.
Didn't
even bigger than me.
It did not bother me. Although it was... I found it, one thing about it, creepy. Total strangers, even people who are kind of on the conservative side, would always be curious about his penis size. Just because he was so tall?
Right.
They would just ask me. It was
weird.
No,
that's a common thing for guys our size. Yeah, I get that all the time. Guys just assume. And
They're
curious.
Like guys your size are like will be the, you know, like, hey, what do you got there, Posehn? Like,
yeah. That's my thing.
They'll look at my hands.
Well, they assume two things. They assume you played sports in high school.
100%.
Yes.
And then they assume you have a big honker.
Which neither are true.
Well, you know what you should say now? You should combine your two answers and go, no, I did not play basketball. Yeah, yeah. My cock was too big.
Right.
And the shorts could not contain them. And then the person will be plumb out of questions.
Yeah, it creeped out, you know.
Creeped out,
school,
but out of questions.
Yeah.
So, Brian, first off, how much weight have you lost?
Not much yet. I think like 10 or 15, but enough for people to notice.
Yeah,
it's weird.
How does that work?
I don't know. Well, because
I mean, you're so tall, 10 or 15 pounds wouldn't seem like much, but yet I noticed.
Yeah, but I was such a fat fucking fuck. And now, like, just any little bit
helps. Did
you
gain weight when your wife was pregnant?
Yeah, that happened. And then just whenever I work on something like the last season of Sarah Silverman, I ballooned up. And I think it was just being around another huge guy that was also eating shittily all day.
Right, like, and playing video games. And, and Brian, the also the big man-sized lumberjack beard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's almost like once you make the decision to grow that big beard, you almost have to grow into the beard.
Right.
So it's
I think I got a little bigger once the beard started getting crazier more
and out of control. And just being a big dude, like there's, you know, when you're beardless and 5'8" and small bones, 10 pounds seems like you've gained a Winnebago. When you're 6'8", big bone, big with the big Dan Haggerty beard, you can green let yourself go for a few months.
Yeah.
So how about the kid? Let's talk about that.
It's awesome. He's a little guy, and I just it's been weird because I was one of those people thought that I would never have a kid, and then plus in my stand-up act being kind of negative about kids too,
sure.
So just sort of changing and then trying not to change too much, you know, because
yeah.
I don't want to lose
your edge.
The guys who love my masturbating material, and,
sure,
you know,
I know, so. It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. And being a guy who never thought he'd have kids, I sort of felt that way too myself, and I'm wondering where you got your "I'm one of those guys who's never going to have kids" feeling.
It came from a couple of places, and I used to be so negative. Like, I used to, I do a joke about it, but how when I was young, my cousin got his girlfriend pregnant, and I was like, my family hated me because I came out so against, like, oh, you know, how can you do that? And, you know, how can you ruin your life? And
right.
That's just the way I looked at it
yeah.
when I was younger, and then I just never thought it was something for me. And then I think part of it was my last girlfriend before my wife mm-hmm. was never going to have a kid too. So, and I was with her for a long time. So
yeah.
it just became kind of my mantra that I was going to be one of those people.
Well, know? The women usually bring the guys to it because the guys would be in a sort of perpetual holding pattern, state of adolescence, especially
right.
doing comedy.
Yeah,
essentially not having a job for a living or having a
right.
job that really didn't involve getting up before noon.
Right.
You just go, fuck it. And a lot of comedians I know, Doug Benson, if you're listening, are just in this sort of perpetual sort of adolescent circling of the airport.
Right.
And they're like, fuck it. I like smoking weed. I like making
right.
my own hours.
Right.
I want to go to bed at 3:30 in the morning. I want to wake up at 1 in the afternoon. And I don't
yeah.
want anyone taking my money.
Right.
And so you get in this, it's a little self-absorbed and it ends up making you funnier.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a woman who's like, fuck it, we don't need kids, then you're never going to have kids. You
right.
kind of need to get with someone who goes, hey, I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah, and my wife was originally like on that side, like, well, if you don't want to have, you know, she didn't want to force me into anything,
sure.
too. But then I sort of came around to the idea.
It just and it's was a great, isn't it?
Thing. Yeah.
How much of change, too, there's so many things that aren't your idea that are great in your life, you know?
Right.
No one really explores that, you know? There's a lot of stuff where people say, look, you should get married, or we should get married, or, I mean, really, truth be told, I would probably be dating with no kids for the rest of my life if you just sort of asked me every day.
Yeah.
If you woke me up every Monday morning and said, is this the week you get married and shit? I mean, beautifully have two children. I would say, no, not this week. And then before you know it, I would be in my 80s going, no, not, you know, with a stroke cane.
No, I know exactly what
someone
you mean.
Going, no,
yeah,
not
yeah.
this week. At some point.
And it's not like my wife suckered me into it or anything.
Right.
But, yeah, she presented. It was an idea I had never thought of.
Right.
Even marrying her, even, you know, like getting married.
Yeah.
Like, I was with her forever. Before she said, you know, you should pull the trigger.
And we're sort of living in a time where guys can get away with it.
Yeah.
Especially stand-up comedians, you
right.
know. You just announce, hey, I'm not the marrying type, or I'm a confirmed bachelor,
right.
whatever.
Or you just say, I'm a stand-up comedian.
I'm a stand-up
yes.
comedian.
It's redundant.
And it's perfect because you go, listen, you know, with my, you know, on the road, crazy hours, crazy travel, never know right. when your next paycheck comes in, whoring. Jesus, should have stopped it on the road. But, yeah, you just go, wouldn't work. Would you like me to be a dad? Not, never here, and blah, 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 blah. So you have every excuse in the world. But I love the fact that you're digging being a dad.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. And it's real cool. You know, Patton had a kid around the same time. So
sure.
It's... And then I have another really good friend of mine whose baby is like a month older. And then Dave Anthony, another good friend mm-hmm. of mine. We all had kids around the same time. Patton thinks because we came home from Comic-Con and we're all horny.
Uh-huh.
And we all impregnated our wives after looking at Scarlett Johansson in the Black Widow costume.
And what do?
But,
well, it would work.
That's
about his,
her next
wow,
that's
you know,
what he thinks happened.
But honestly, birthdays cluster around September because they're New Year's Eve babies.
Right.
And maybe... In
we all
group.
Came home
yeah.
around August,
Comic-Con.
September, and then our kids all came out in the spring.
And what about the...
The math works out.
The parenting and not wanting to have kids. Like, I came from a shitty family, so I kind of understand my thing, but your family loved you?
I have a thing that I never really talk about, but my dad died when I was two, so I was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I always... And that was a big thing. Like, right. I got made fun of for not having a dad, and
really?
That was part... I mean, part of why I took a lot of hits when I was a kid was my looks, but it was also... raised by a single mom, and we didn't have money. And
what
and,
were your look? All right, you know, I'm gonna.
Well, I was the poor kid, and then also skinny and weird, and then tried to be funny.
Right,
and people didn't think I was funny initially.
How did your dad die?
They don't know if you're funny is the problem.
Right, right.
But yeah,
then by senior in high school, I had turned it all around. I was like the DJ and
but
and,
the die had been cast by then.
Yeah.
Listen, now where is this growing up?
Northern California, Sonoma.
Okay.
And the mean streets of Sonoma.
Yeah.
And
well, I came from San Jose. Like,
oh,
I
that's
moved
good.
From a city when I was 9 years old and then moved up to Sonoma. And you'd think, like, the country kids would be cool. And,
right.
You know, you'd think it would be the reverse, but
no.
It was brutal.
Ooh, we're looking
I went
picture.
To the country. And,
so
yeah,
I,
yeah.
After your dad died hitting his head on a door jamb, it must have been difficult. No, what happened with your father?
Blood disease.
Oh.
And just, like, some crazy, like, soap opera disease that just, like, they tell you you're going to die, and then you die.
And
just,
and it and at age, it's always a tragedy. But at two, do you remember much
no,
of him or
but,
much of it?
But you just grow up kind of knowing there's a hole, you
right?
Know, knowing that you're not like the other kids, and,
sure.
and seeing that you're not like the other kids, and then the kids reminding you constantly that you're not like them.
So they really were cruel about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had kids, like, a kid was making fun of me, and I go, well, my dad's dead. And he goes, well, dig him up, you know, and, like,
I mean,
that was the thing I'll remember forever.
Dig him up.
It makes
yeah.
me like, well, I want to get
fifth
in a time
grader.
Machine,
yeah.
and then I want to hit that kid in the face.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know why my mom didn't flip out and kill all these kids that
and,
were mean
and,
to
and
me.
And how, but, how was your mom was poor.
Yeah, well, single mom going to school and then mm-hmm. working for the state, and you know,
right? So, and
not poor, but not. You know.
And knowing how hard it is with two parents to raise a kid, can you now? Do you have a new appreciation for your mom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how did your mom? How was your relationship with your mom?
Really good when I was young, and then I went through the rebellious thing, and then I kind of blamed her when I was when I got picked on so much.
Right,
I had a lot of resentment, and then I would come home and
with better
you know,
genes.
Well, yeah,
right.
I mean, I had kids calling me faggot and throwing stuff at me. Like
she didn't defend you.
No, and I came home and I would complain about it, and she'd go, "Oh, kids called me giraffe," and I'm like, "Giraffe is not the same as faggot." Like,
right.
She
yeah.
was a 6-foot lady growing up in the 50s.
Sure.
Yeah.
So she
right.
got some grief.
Sure. Sure.
But not compared to you know the skinny kid.
Well, it is weird. Yeah. I mean, it's a thing that I marvel at. I mean, it's sad that you're jealous when you turn on the news and they got the 15-year-old black kid with his shirt off and his pants down. He's being pushed into the back of an LAPD car, and you see that huge black mama like banging on the gate and the project going, "You let me at him! You get away from my baby!" And I think to myself, "Wow, I wish I had that mom.
Yeah, my mom would
That'd
have done
awesome.
That. No, you're
mom,
staying there.
My mom would have
yeah.
never done shit. She would have been in the house." But so I wonder if and your mom must have been. Obviously, going to school, working, being burdened by not
right.
having a lot of help and a lot of money, having a
right,
husband
right,
that
right.
died, a widow, blah, blah, blah. See, I believe that you sort of see life and have experiences sort of through the filter of your childhood.
Right.
And so whatever you were to your parents, well, then you think potentially your kids are going to be to you.
Right.
And my parents... treated their kids like a royal pain in the ass. Like, just
yeah.
like, oh, god damn, you want to ride where? Oh, it's going
right.
to cost what? What, you want $12 for a windbreaker that says East Valley Trojans on it? Please, we're not made of money. Like, everything was met with an exhale, like, ugh. So, I just grew up thinking, wow, kids got to be the world's biggest bummer.
Right.
I just thought, what a pain in the ass. Cause
right.
my parents were just exhaling, and meanwhile, they never enjoyed any. They never went
yeah.
to any of the football games or thought anything was good. So none of the positive, all of the negative means, well, kids suck.
Yeah.
They take your money.
Right.
You get no enjoyment from them. And next thing you know, they want to ride to Van Nuys to hang out with their buddy Teddy.
yeah.
It's such a bummer. So I got that, and I
yeah.
just thought, well, why would anyone want kids?
Well, see, I thought I would die as soon as I had a kid.
Oh, well, that's even worse.
Like, I grew up with that going, why have a kid? Because I'm just going to die on him. Right. Because obviously this runs on the family, even though I had nothing to base that on.
You mentioned that already.
I would have been only the second one. But.
Right. Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it is nice. It feels good that you were led to that intimacy and that even against what would have been your wishes.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I did a lot of growing up in the last 10 years. And it, not just from my wife, but just all the way around. Just, you know, and I just sort of fell into it, or it made more sense as I'm, you know, acting more like an adult, even though I'm wearing short pants.
But still.
And I got high in the afternoon.
Well, you weren't
still
on baby duty.
I'm totally an adult for compared to who I am and compared to most comedians and most of
but
my
it
friends.
But it must be kind of a beautiful experience having never had really a father to be one.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's already really cool. And the one thing I'm loving, and he's totally obsessed with me, and
oh really? Oh
yeah!
Well, look
like
at
he
you.
Does the hi dada thing, and he doesn't say hi mama, and so it's hilarious because it bugs my wife. So like I've got this thing to kind of hold.
It's like living with the brawny man or the big guy who'd be out in front of the tire store, the big giant fiberglass guy holding up the tires or something like that. You know, like living.
Right.
With the, you know, a Yeti or something. I mean, it's very exciting for a kid, you know?
To have a big lumberjack
looking dad.
How fun would that be? Who would want that to be a dad?
Yeah, he pulls on it constantly.
Right?
He loves the beard.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing that that plays into it is that I've been gone. I was, like, gone 100 days of his first year.
You're on the road.
Yeah, so when I'm there, like, my wife's there every single day.
Right.
So I'm more of a, like, he doesn't know when he gets up if I'm going to be there or not. So, and then when I show up, it's like a total surprise.
The, by the way, name of the new album is called Fart and Wiener Jokes. It is out on iTunes, Amazon, and Brian's website, by the way. You can get him at Brian Posehn. That's P-O-S-E-H-N.com. You guys want to do a little made-up movie? You guys in the mood for this? People call up. They throw out a title, and we just basically make up a movie around the title. So it's a challenge, but we usually land on our feet.
According to an ancient Mayan prophecy, in the year 2010, a hero would rise to turn your movie titles into blockbusters.
Glad it's not me. Glad that ain't me.
That hero is Adam Carolla.
Boy, that could be me.
And this is Made Up Movie.
All right, I have no idea what's going on with the phones, but I'm assuming they're not plugged in or ready to go, but I'll give it a try. Hey, Ray? Let's see. Donnie's got to hit something. I just hit something. All right. Something's wrong with the phones here, Weezer. Let's see if that works. Hey, Ray? Or Hayden? Or didn't one just drop off and switch over?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think this thing's going to work. Donnie's going to fix something's wrong with the phone lines, which we normally don't prepare before we do phone calls where people phone in. But I don't know. Donnie can try it out. Yeah.
Mm.
See, now what happened to the phones? I don't know. Is it plugged in? Oh. We know we're going to take phone calls, Donnie? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, but don't kick yourself in the ass. That's the important part.
Well, he was in immediately. Like,
all right. Did all right.
The response time was pretty impressive.
It was.
Pretty good response time. All right. Give it a try. All right, you ready to try one? Mm-hmm. All right. Do not beat yourself up. That's the important part. Let's laugh it off. There you go. Hey, Michael?
All right, let's try
another one. Mike? It's great we have a Michael and a Mike, so it's extra confusing.
Well, we have the titles.
We have the titles.
Yeah.
All right, let me try it. Hello? That's funny when they do it. Hello? All right. Now listen, fuck it.
Look, who wants to do...
Donnie, we knew we were going to try to take phone calls, right? Oh, there's the car.
Oh, did I do it?
No.
It did doesn't, I kick it loose?
It doesn't hook in.
When Sasquatch walked in, he didn't kick it loose?
All right. We're good now.
All right. Whoa.
Hey, Michael?
Have a nod to drop.
Yo.
We do know when we're going to take phone calls, though, right? Yeah. No big deal.
Do you have a meeting? Or?
All right. Well, they plan it. They go, we're going to do made-up movie. Maybe he thought people were going to walk into titles like they normally do. Listen, all right, sorry. Michael?
Yo.
What's going on?
How are you?
Good.
I'm a big fan, first of all, I want to say.
Thanks, Michael. Do you have a title of a movie you like?
Yeah, try this on. Misfortune Cookies.
Mmm. Misfortune Cookies.
Run with it.
So it's all Jackie right. Chan and Jet Li.
Yeah.
All right, yes.
Ray Liotta plays the heavy.
Oh, wait, yes. Jackie Chan and Jet Li are the hitmen, mm-hmm. and they get they're the Yakuza, and they get their like the next assignment, the next hit,
yeah.
a fortune cookie.
Ooh, that's...
So it's that way they disavow all knowledge of having gotten the, you know,
right.
The
right. Draft. And Jet Li gets a cookie that tells him he has to kill Jackie Chan.
Right, oh. And Jackie Chan gets the same cookie about Jet Li.
Right.
Yeah. And it's
a pussy's honor.
Right. And it's there's comedy, but there's also action and pathos in it.
Uh-huh. Yes, of course.
And then
it's got heart.
It's got a lot of heart.
Now, we're going to need heart because one of them's going to have like a kid. Kid or?
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what. Jackie Chan has a beautiful Eurasian daughter who, right. Jackie Chan or Jet Li? I can't remember.
No, Jackie's the older guy.
Jackie's got a beautiful Eurasian daughter, and Jet Li is dating her.
Yes.
And
but behind Jackie's back, he doesn't know it.
Right.
But in the second act.
Certain point, this is where the heart comes out, he finds out she's pregnant with Jet's kid.
Right.
Little Cessna. I guess. You'd name your kid if you're Jet Li, right?
Sure.
Single engine.
Single engine. Piper Cub. So the point is he can't kill him now because you're essentially killing the father of your grandchild.
Right.
Yeah, that's where it gets. But tons of action, tons of intrigue. Now,
then at the end, they both kill the guy that set them both up. Right?
Yeah, find the guy.
Of course, they team up.
Of course.
Set them both up, yeah. And maybe that's Ray Liotta. Maybe Ray Liotta did that.
And I think it has to end with something funny happening at the wedding of the pregnant gal.
Yeah,
maybe,
sure.
You know, she's pregnant at the wedding. And
right.
I can't remember which one is her daughter.
It's Jackie Chan's daughter.
Yeah,
he walks her down the aisle.
Right, yeah. And there's a crazy
something
hilarious happens.
Something hilarious
and it's a freeze
happens.
Frame.
Yeah.
Maybe
and then Turning Japanese comes on and they roll credits.
The thing that's funny is almost everybody on the bride and groom side is a third degree black belt.
Right, of course.
So it's just here's the comedy. Here's what happens. Some bumbling sort of gangbanger, so that's multiracial.
But that we've set up earlier, like in a B story.
Yeah, they're like stoner gangbangers, and they stumble onto this wedding, and they're like easy pickings.
Right.
Lots of guys in there, big fat wallets, lots of old men, and it just turns into a crazy kung fu thing where they just whip the shit out of all these gangbanger guys who show up. They think they're going to get in there and grab all the cash at the wedding and grab
but
the cake.
But everyone's a black belt, and most hilariously,
black belt.
The old people and the kids.
Yes.
And the bride.
And the bride.
Reveals herself as a hitman woman.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, just for the closing
she's
credits.
She's got a baby in her tummy.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the closing credits, can they all be like you open the fortune cookie and then directed by?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bust open the cookie. Yeah.
Can they? Yes.
Yeah, can they? Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
It's a hit!
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. Misfortune cookie. I like that. All right. Let's talk to Mike. Mike?
Adam.
What do you got for us in the made-up movie department?
All right, Adam, here we go. Mm. I'm thinking conjoined twins, separate mother,
you gotta,
separate father.
Mike,
just
you
title.
Give the title, and
we, do all
we
the work.
Tell you the name of the movie. You give us the title of the movie, we describe the movie.
Calls?
Yeah.
I mean, does he want to give us the plot, and we give him the title? Because there's no reason we couldn't do that.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call string.
Give us the name of the movie.
Salt and Pepper.
All right, I got it. Conjoined twins.
Yeah, different... Mother.
One black, one white.
Right.
Yeah, it's Tracy Jordan and Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is crazy.
I can already see the trailer now. I mean, Rogen's trying to have sex, and Tracy Morgan.
I always call him by his character.
Right.
Tracy Jordan.
Oh, he said Jordan. Yeah.
What a racist asshole.
Yeah. Just asshole. But or just racist. But either way, they're conjoined. Yeah, they had a black father and a white mother, and it just turned out this way. This is awesome. They have to learn from each other.
The father and the mother. We got to catch them, right?
Like, that's a good point. Let's make the mother Cicely Tyson.
that's
possibly dead.
She's an older.
All right,
we got to go.
All right. Dad is
De Niro is, doing another hilarious part.
Well, De Niro's believable.
That could be funny. Yeah, I was thinking more of a Harold Ramis type, just because he played his dad already and knocked up.
Right.
So if you have Harold Ramis, and now how about this? Robert Downey Jr. as a black woman.
Okay, oh my God!
There we go.
Yeah.
And now we got something going on, right?
Right.
And now, do we have Tracy, sort of the studious one, who's a little more uptight, and for some reason, even though...
But now they didn't know each other growing up, right? Now they're together in the first
act?
They're conjoined. They literally came out of mama that way.
Yeah, may I just say, I think they should have a sister, and I would like to cast...
Kardashian?
The girl from Precious, who you thought, well, she's never going to get another role.
Right.
Gabourey, whatever. She'd be fun.
Yeah, we have her in there as the sister.
But what happens on page 15? What's the conflict? I mean, what...
They want to be separated, and a doctor finally, you know, like, maybe there always seem to be...
Hold on. They don't have the money.
They've got to raise it.
They got to raise the money.
And in the end, do they really want to be separated?
Because one of them wants to do something else, like Seth Rogen wants to be a dancer.
Right, right.
Or something.
Yeah, so they have to raise the money. What are they going to do to get the money? Because insurance will not cover the separation of conjoined twins.
Greatest striptease ever. They take to the pole.
They take to the
Just
pole.
Just realize you're playing Salt Pepper. Took me a second.
Yes, they must become exotic male dancers.
Exactly.
And they must tease to Ebony and Ivory.
Right.
And there's a lot of hijinks, like in the commercial where they're on the edge of the stage at the bachelor party and they both just go ass over tea kettle into the front.
Right. And of course, we'll have to have the Michael Jackson Black or White song.
Right.
And then one of them takes a drug that they're, you know, that they have an allergy to.
Right. And the other one.
And then it affects the other guy.
Right.
Right.
When he can't be, like, he's going for a job interview or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The job interview, they're total lightweights. Like, Seth Rogen's a huge stoner.
Right.
But Tracy Morgan, you just give him half of one of Sarah Silverman's pot brownies and he's fucking three sheets for the next 2 days.
Exactly.
So it goes through his system as well. Now there needs to be, they both fall in love with Halle Berry and claim her as their own.
Now, did they meet her at one of these strip clubs?
She reluctantly goes along to one of her friend's bachelorette parties. That's the thing. And they both see her as exactly between the two of them. Like, she's black. She's white. What are you talking about? She's mine. No, she's not. Right?
So then, how does it end? Does it end with them getting back together?
There's
sleep with her forever.
They get rejoined. They're separated.
Right.
The conjoined twins. But before, there's a crazy one of the funniest scenes ever put to film, where Lisa Lampanelli fucks the shit out of Tracy Morgan.
Oh yeah.
And it's just, but while she's attached to Seth Rogen, and it's just insane and stuff being knocked over. And a Chinese kid lighting firecrackers in the room. It's total insane. Mostly improvised, but a crazy sex scene.
And Seth is trying to talk to his mom at the same time on the phone while Tracy's having sex with Lisa.
We're joking, but the Wayans brothers have made worse movies.
Absolutely.
With much worse premises.
For sure.
Absolutely.
It's a hit!
And there's a really disgusting, funny sort of there's something about Mary sort of scene where Tracy pulls out when he's banging Lisa Lampanelli from behind, and at the last second goes, "Oh, baby, I'm going to come all over your back." And Lisa smacks him, and it goes all over
Rogan.
Rogan's hair.
Yeah, it's like, oh, dude.
It's covered with his
slimed
own.
Again.
I didn't know all that.
All right, I like this. By the way, any of these movies could be made by Hollywood. I'm all for it. Hey, Mike?
Yes?
Well, we had Mike and a Michael and a Mike.
This is Mike.
What's happening, Mike? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. Not much. Just had a long day at the office.
Mm-hmm. We'll never come to New Hampshire and do comedy, so I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm an hour north of Boston.
Oh, we're coming to Boston to do comedy, so enjoy.
I shall.
What's up?
I'm thinking of a made-up movie title. This is perhaps a character piece called The Bird Feeder.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
What do you got?
I think it's a horror movie.
How about Russell Crowe as the silent? He for the first half of the movie, no words.
Like the piano.
Yeah.
Like Wally.
Jane
yeah.
Campion.
Yeah, he's all a right. quiet, he's a quiet, what they think is a simple man.
Like Boo Radley.
Yeah. Who's that?
He's the guy in To Kill a Mockingbird.
From the book.
Yeah.
He killed but that bird. Was made into a movie, oh, yeah, so there's that's a chance right. he could be familiar.
Oh, he had that song that black guy used to sing about him. Bo Radley.
Is that a singing?
Yeah.
He's played by Robert Duvall.
I'm thinking of Bo Diddley. Point is this. He was in that Nike commercial, right? With the... Yeah, anyway.
Bo Radley?
No. All right.
Bo knows Bo the
Diddley,
recluse.
Bo Diddley was yeah. in, yes.
Bo knows literature. All right, the point is this. He so Russell Crowe plays a simple man. It's a period piece, but it's from the 50s.
Yeah, of course.
And he's a very simple man from the 50s, and he works on a huge estate, and his job, and he's a groundskeeper.
Uh-huh. Wears overalls.
He wears overalls, and he quietly just tends his business. But there's a lot of those scenes where, like, he's in the yard refilling the hummingbird feeder.
He takes care of the bird.
And he's up on his A-frame ladder, and he sees through the window what's going on. Like, he can see the...
A little bit Hitchcock.
Yeah, he can see where... We see the world through his eyes. Like, most of the movies are about the people that are the focal point. The rich guy, the industrialist, who's the head of the house, and the patriarch of the house, and so on and so forth. But this is through the eyes of one of the silent people that
an
work
outsider.
In his
everybody
an
thinks
outsider.
He's like a town retard.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah, but
just
he's
because
the most observant person.
Just because he doesn't talk.
Right.
Now,
it's a bird's eye view.
Bird's eye view. Starts up a relationship with the polio stricken daughter of this couple.
Okay.
She's nine.
She's nine?
She's nine, has full blown polio. She likes him. And she's
friends.
Yeah, befriends him. And she reaches out to him. She's the only one who'll... She goes around in a wheelchair with a blanket on her legs, like FDR. Like,
and she asks about the birds.
Uh-huh. She's the only
she
one
wants
ever
to
asks
see them.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. But
questions. Yeah, and he's a little suspicious, but he opens up to her. And we see there's a moment, there's a pivotal moment when one of the birds falls out of the nest, lands on the ground. She picks up the bird. He picks up the bird and snaps its neck quickly and says, the bird will be shunned by the mother once it smells the presence of a human.
Does this foreshadow what's going to happen?
Yes, but it's him explaining it's the humane thing to do,
right,
but her being freaked out. But it lets the audience know he'll
he's
do what
break her neck
something's
going
to
happen.
Act.
He'll do what needs to be done,
yeah.
if it needs to be done.
To protect her.
Push her into the well.
I think that's what's going to happen.
No, I think he's going to protect her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to protect her because that's the only person who he's close to.
Right, right. And then we start to realize that the father, again, all through the eye of the simpleton groundsman known as Russell Crowe, that he's a philanderer, that he's abusive, that he's a drinker. I mean, he's essentially Patton Oswalt.
Wow.
That would be a beefy role for him.
Yeah, that'd be good. Well, he proved himself with big fans.
He absolutely did. He can go dark. He was great in that. It was a very enjoyable movie. I just saw that on cable recently. So, but we'll probably go for a guy. You know, we'll go for a Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, the studio's
type.
Not going to sign off.
Yeah, we're not
going to
sign off
Patton.
On Patton.
Yeah,
not with this kind of budget. Right. Pierce Brosnan is the guy we'll
That'll
go for
buy.
That.
All right.
Yeah, and he's very cruel. And at a certain point, he's going to send Emily, his beloved 9-year-old. He really wants, you know what? He's not her biological dad, he's the stepdad. And he wants her sent off to some sort of camp somewhere so that he can get the home and be running in the home because she's
Should
the benefactor.
Be a little darker that he's
well,
going
to... I think he's going to send her to an institution for people with polio because he's embarrassed to have her around.
Ah, how about this? Let's go darker. She's the benefactor of this sprawling estate.
Yeah, so he's going to kill her.
And he's poisoning her. He's going to kill her.
Whoa.
And at some point, the bird feeder needs to... settle his hash.
Step in.
Yeah.
It's dark.
And
it's
then he
study.
Snaps Pierce Brosnan's neck. At
right.
The end
yeah.
of the
just
movie.
Like he did the bird.
Yep. Yeah. He has that weird quiet guy groundsman strength.
Right.
I don't know why the groundskeeper's
well,
so goddamn strong.
Yeah.
Well,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Lenin of Mice and Men.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a hit!
Yeah, I don't know that dude either, but cool. Is that dude from Motorhead?
Lenny of Mice and Men? You know, the Steinbeck, you know.
The
right?
guys who make the pianos?
They made that into a movie, too.
He's trying to play with her. Yeah, the Blade into a movie with Sherilyn Fenn. He's trying to pet her head because her hair's soft, and then he actually
Color movie or one of those black and white ones?
Well, they made one in black and white, and then one in color.
They've done a couple of versions.
Is this the dude? Is it Motorhead?
No, however...
Did Anthony Edwards do a version of Mice and Men?
Did he?
Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Gary Sinise did one of them.
Oh, okay.
And, John Malkovich was Lenny.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But speaking of...
You didn't see that?
You didn't see that one?
I just know Motorhead. I never caught him when they came into town. But Lenny seems like an awesome dude.
Yeah. He's always at the Rainbow.
Yeah. You can smell him when you drive past.
This is one of Brian's passions, is the metal.
Oh, thrash metal. Oh, all right. Hey, we have a little clip from Brian's album, by the way. Part two of the news. Should we hear a little clip?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to set this up, because I don't know if you know it. But
Oh, it might be my song.
Ah, it's Brian's song. Yeah. Fart and Wiener Jokes. This is off Brian Posehn's new album. Let's hear it.
Oh, this is The Gambler.
Oh, The Gambler, that's right. It's a remake of The Gambler.
Yeah.
Smart.
This song was asking to be metal this whole time.
I never thought about it, yeah.
On a train bound for nowhere, I met up with The Gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness, till boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I made a life faces and knowing what their cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind me saying, I could see you're out of aces for a taste of your whiskey. I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle and he drank down my last bottle. Then he bumped a cigarette and asked
me. Listen to the lyrics. The lyrics are totally metal.
I got deathly quiet and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up.
Yeah.
Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never doubt your money when you're sitting at the table.
I just hope Kenny Rogers had to hear this at some point and sign up on it.
He'd be like, cancel my plastic surgery this morning. I want to hear this Posehn song. Yeah.
Well, don't they have to, I don't know, when you re-record something, I think somebody has to approve it.
Yeah, I guess they do. I would have liked Coward of the County or Lucille.
Ruby.
I mean, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
That's next.
Have you ever really broken down the lyrics to Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town?
Well, she's a whore, right?
Well, not really by trade, but she has to because she's a young woman and she has needs that aren't being satisfied by him because he was broken down in Korea, I believe. He was left bent and twisted by
depressing.
This Asiatic war. Do you have that song, Brian? If you really listen to the lyrics here, it's quite a... It starts
you
off.
Painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair.
Yeah, she's horned herself
that,
up.
That quick.
He's
that
good.
Amazing.
He's good.
Ruby, are you contemplating?
And to be fair, this is not the first time we've broken down the song.
Yeah.
This song? Oh, okay.
All right, so she put the curlers on and painted up her face.
Right.
Tells me the sun is going down.
Now it's getting dark and she's heading into town. So far, you know, so good. It's all right.
Yeah, not a total bummer yet.
Yeah, maybe there's a nice Trader Joe's or something.
Right.
Yeah, bingo night.
Yeah, you never know why she's going to town. And now we find out.
To take her love to town.
It started that old crazy Asian war.
Didn't start that crazy Asian war.
But I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore.
I got drafted and he went.
He's proud, yeah.
He was proud.
Didn't fight it.
Yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be.
To me, that means he can't perform.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't satisfy his younger running.
He took
you know, he's not what he was, but he Still needs
still need some company.
Still needs some company.
Right, right.
It's a good man. It's a patriot.
It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed.
Oh, okay. Bent and paralyzed.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize.
Basically, can't fuck his old lady anymore because he's bent.
But it'll
be nice
long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around.
I like this part. It's not long till he's dead.
Yeah, everybody's counting the days.
Right. It's quietly one of the most depressing ditties in the world.
When old Cripple
Legs
our nation's hero.
Yeah.
Take your love.
He's basically begging his young wife not to go fuck some strangers in town.
Because I just heard the slamming of the door.
Oh, she's splitting. Turns out he has another side to him, too.
Only I know I've heard it slam 100 times before.
She does a lot, and that was just this week, so she does a lot of fucking in town.
And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground.
He'd put her in the ground if he could move. He can't move.
Lucky for her.
Yeah. He wanted her company.
I know. Do you want to hang around with a guy and want to put you in the ground?
Maybe that's why she takes her love to town.
Take your love to town.
Yeah, I'd move my love into town, too, if I was going to be put in the ground.
And I love that the song is so cheery sounding, too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, hey. Yeah, it sounds like a Cialis commercial.
Yeah, you kind of want the backup vocals to go, wait, what did you say? You're going to fucking shoot her?
Those old guys.
No, we didn't sign up for this.
Those old guys in the Viagra commercial get together and plan to ban all weekend.
Yeah.
This is all they're playing in the band.
Well, it's true. They can't get a boner. They got to go into their wife's got to go in town and fuck.
You guys want to play Ruby again?
It is an upbeat ditty about a paralyzed guy whose wife is a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be weird when the guy who just did the drum track for it, the session musician who laid it down months earlier, that's for a Kenny Rogers song. He probably thought it was another, you know, a foot snapper and a toe tapper. And then he heard this about the guy who was bent and paralyzed. Right.
And his dad actually is like that.
Yeah.
So then his dad thinks that...
Oh, he's singing about him?
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Then he gets into some trouble at home.
Speaking of,
just a session drummer.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't write that.
But you know, I
just telling our family story.
In Korea.
And your mother's a whore now.
Yeah. Well, there is... It's funny you bring that up. Do you have the coward of the county?
No,
all right. We'll work on that.
Yeah, that one's a bummer too, right?
Well, not only that, but, you know, she's gang raped by the Gatlin brothers.
Oh, when I forgot about that.
That happens in the lyrics?
Well, the thing that's nutty about the Coward of the County...
And Lucille's a bummer, too, like, right?
Every song he quietly sings, except for Islands in the Stream, is a bummer.
Wait, what happens in Lucille?
Everyone, there's some grief going on, I can't remember.
Yeah.
The Coward of the County.
Doesn't end with her dead or...
Never stood one single time.
No,
and Lucille's got 18 kids or something.
Yeah,
like,
it's already
kind of. I'm gonna work the lyrics out to Lucille. Yeah,
just call him Yella.
Yella. That was kind of like Posehn's growing up, right? No dad. Everyone thought you were the coward of the county.
Yeah, sure.
Well, at least reddish.
Yeah.
Reddish Yella.
Yeah.
His daddy died in prison.
His daddy died in prison. I mean, your dad wasn't in the joint.
Cause he wasn't my brother's son.
Nine. Oh, so he's the uncle.
I still recall the final words my brother said to Tommy. Son, my life is over, but yours has just begun. Promise me, son.
So,
right before the chorus.
The dad, the dad died in the joint. By the way, I didn't fuck with kids whose dad died in the joint.
Right.
That was my policy.
No, I wouldn't.
Of picking on people. I feel like it's a pretty scrappy kid who's seen a lot.
Yeah.
Dad probably taught him how to make a shank.
Yeah.
I see the guy with the teardrop tattoo next to the teardrop tattoo, which means your dad died in prison. I don't fuck with that kid, but evidently the Gatlin brothers didn't get that message.
Tommy's love was Becky.
He loved Becky.
In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man.
She loved him for who he was.
Exactly. While he she was didn't working, care about his dad died.
Gatlin boys came a-calling.
They took turns at Becky.
Wait.
There were three of them.
Ooh. They took turns in Becky. There were three of them.
Tommy opened up the door.
Did they get multiple turns? It's sort of implying.
Now, who's Becky?
Torn dress.
The guy that he loved.
I can't follow this.
He was the only girl that...
The only girl he loved was Becky.
Okay, and loved him back, yeah.
Yeah, she...
That's the guy's dad died in prison.
She liked him for what he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone else knew he was Yeller.
Right, right, okay.
And evidently a pussy.
Okay.
Becky saw him for what he was, and she loved it.
And then these Gatling brothers came along and had at her.
Yeah, yeah.
They had at her.
They each took turns.
They each took turns, and there were three. And when he stopped, he goes, and there were three of them. Wow.
Gross.
Gross. And the best part about this whole story is when I interviewed Kenny Rogers was a motorcycle racer from the 70s. Kenny Rogers, I said... there was an act called the Gatlin Brothers that were pretty famous around your time. He's like, yeah, I know. I toured with them many years. I'm like,
were they rapists?
How many Gatlin Brothers were there? He's like, there were three of them.
There were three of them.
So when you talked about the gang rapist named the Gatlin Brothers when there was three of them and you were touring with the Gatlin Brothers, didn't you pause and go, just make it the Johnson Brothers and make it four of them? Right. Or make it the Baldwin Brothers and make it six of them? Like, why the guys? He's like, yeah. Well, there you go. And he started laughing, and I was like...
I did a shout-out for you on my new song.
Listen to this song.
Yeah, name check.
Who likes gang rape? You guys, listen to this. Yeah. I got a great shout-out for you, Gatlin Brothers. This next one's like, Gatlin Brothers, hey, who's in the gang rape? Hold a lighter over your head. All right, awesome. Yeah. All right. This next song is not about consensual sex. All right, so the Gatlin brothers, when there's three Gatlin brothers in real life, and there's three of them who raped Becky.
Mm-hmm. There were three of them.
Back in.
Tommy opened up the door, saw his Becky crying. The torn dress, the shattered look, was more than he could stand.
So soon as he was done beating off, he
fireplace, took down his daddy's picture.
Well, he doesn't have crippled legs to stop it, right?
But his dad had already told him not to do what he had done.
Yeah, they saw the picture.
So was his dad in jail for messing up some dudes?
I'm guessing it wasn't tax evasion. Rarely a topic touched upon in the country world, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't white collar crime.
Well, what really rhymes with deduction?
Right, right.
Embezzle is tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one too, yeah.
Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
He was 1099 by his former employer in the previous tax quarter. He didn't claim enough dependents. Yeah, it's wordy, you know.
What rhymes with racketeering?
Yeah, better just put a man in the ground. Safer. Safer rhymes, faster too.
Into the bar room.
Uh-oh.
One of them got up, met him halfway across the floor.
Still in his refractory period.
Tommy turned around and said, hey, look, old Yella's leaving. She could have heard a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door.
Oh, he locked the door. Yeah, it's the baddest ass move in the world. The baddest ass move in the world is putting the closed sign.
Yeah.
That means you're giving a world-class ass kick and you lock the door. Although, I would argue if I owned the tavern, I'd be like, hey, man.
We're still up. I'm trying to do business.
Tourists are coming in with a Heineken on tap.
This is kind of my busy night.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys can fight, but you don't have to, you know.
Just take it
out. Sell some beers.
Yeah, we make most of our money from the bar.
I do have bills to pay.
Yeah.
If you administer ass beating, people are going to drink some beers. So why close the doors?
Posehn's doing two shows here on Friday and one show Thursday night. So if we could go ahead and reopen that door, that'd be awesome. All right, sorry.
20 years of crawling. Bottled up inside him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of ass whooping to give.
He wasn't holding nothing back. He let him have it all. Tommy left the bar room. Out of Gatlin boy was standing. He said, this one's for Becky. As he watched the last one fall, I heard him say, I promised you, Dad, not to do the things you've done. I'll walk away from trouble when I can.
Maybe Maybe Dad beat the shit out of Gatlin Sr.
But yeah, the other thing is, a sign of a badass, when somebody starts talking to themselves after they just kick your ass, like, that's frightening.
Yeah. Talking to their dead dad.
Or talking to Jesus or whoever they're talking to. That's just bad news.
They should be talking to the police. But anyone else, you got problems. So there you go. He was a coward in the county. And there's a very valuable lesson in this.
What is it?
Don't mess with...
Yeah, don't fuck with that guy, because
don't
after
mess with the guy whose dad is in prison.
Brothers gang rape your Becky, then you're going to beat everyone into a coma in a tavern. I mean, it's, again, it's an uplifting message.
Don't taunt the guy whose wife you just raped, too. Like, hey, Yella's leaving.
That's the lesson.
They do a lot of that in movies.
The taunting after the raping is really the cherry on the horrible side.
Yeah, it's one thing to gang rape your girl.
Yeah.
But then call you yellow on top of it?
Yeah.
During your refractory?
He drew his line,
And
he just went to talk to those fellas. He just went to say...
To straighten them out.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. Don't rape my wife again.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
But then calling him yellow.
Right. That's what did it. Yeah. Or give me a heads up when you're going to rape her so I can put her raping dress on. Because this one's all torn and covered with goo.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was an expensive dress.
Right.
You know, I got my, you know, T, I don't want to get gross here, but you have your period underpants, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have your raping dress.
Right. You don't mind if a little blood gets on it.
A guy has a work t-shirt. He uses when he's going to change the oil.
What girl doesn't have a raping dress?
Well, when you're going to change your oil in your car, you don't put on a tuxedo.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You put a tux on?
I'll put on a free, like, comedy club t-shirt or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Put on
I'm sure you would have a raping outfit, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get dirtied up.
Yeah. Oh, no, we have an outfit for raping.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Same shirt that I wear to change my car oil.
Yeah.
I put my Tampa Improv shirt
on. Elastic waist pants.
I go out and rape.
Yeah.
Right.
And to me, it's whatever I saw Patton Oswalt wearing last. Because, you know, I have a feeling.
Why are you going after Patton today?
No, he's a good guy. I just, when the lineup hits, when I'm going to go,
hey.
But nobody's going to ever mistake you for him.
Yeah.
You know what? But I feel like they go into a blackout thing, and they go, I think the guy was funny. I saw him on cable. He did a kind of serious movie that people enjoyed, but nobody watched. Well, there you go. That's Patton Oswalt right there, buddy. You're talking about the man, are you not?
I would just be interested in Kenny's writing process. Like, when you sit down, do you first get the melody?
Yeah.
Or do you first think about, like, a life situation that shouldn't lend itself to songs?
It's got to be weird for the guy who collaborates with Kenny, because the guy probably writes the music.
I wrote this little ditty.
Now, you go write a song about bucking off a horse or a picnic or something like that.
Right.
Like, I got one about gang raping. And I was like, what? No. This is going to be a little toe-tapper. Remember? This is going to be like for hayrides and shit like that. Come on, Kenny. Yeah, I got one about a guy's legs were bent and twisted in the Korean War. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's got to be weird, because, you know, there's some guy who probably lays down the lick and then gives it to Kenny, and then Kenny does the lyrics. And again, one of these days, if we can book them, we'll get the Gatlin brothers in here and see what they have to say about being a serial rapist.
Yeah, it was great. He threw us into a song, but then when we heard the song...
Yeah.
Good news and bad news.
Yeah.
Our manager told us Kenny wrote us into something.
Yeah.
Kenny was a good buddy up until that point.
Yeah. Like, you know, when someone writes a book and they thank their wife, this is kind of the opposite of... This would be the opposite of that. Yeah.
And now, your Adam Carolla Extra.
Yeah, time for a little extra content. Getting an assist from my good buddy Brian.
Yo.
Always good to have you back.
Well, I'm stuck here because President Obama is in town. And he's doing a fundraiser, apparently, in my neighborhood. And they've stopped traffic on all the major streets. They're all just my wife just texted me a picture. And people are stopped, like, on our side streets. Like, they can't even get through.
Yeah. Let me say this. I've complained about this before. And listen, asswipes, don't explain to me the nuances of politicking. Where and how does it work where you get to go out not at the halfway point of your own campaign? And I was shouting about this when he did The View a few weeks ago, and start going out and either campaigning for yourself or somebody else. Get the fuck to work. You're the goddamn president. You have arguably the most important job on the planet. Certainly top three.
Yes.
Other than being a parent.
Oh.
Hey. That's why I'm paying a Mexican lady to do it while I'm here.
So she has the most important job.
The point is this. You have, let's just put it this way. You have the most important job in this country. How about you hang in the office and get some work done? And don't give me this fucking, you're just a Barack hater. I'd say this to every president every time. They're going on vacation, and I don't mind a vacation. But the fundraising and the campaigning for other fucking politicians, and by the way, ones that you probably don't even know or necessarily like, they just happen to be in your party, knock it the fuck off. I mean, who's he raising money for this time?
I guess I have no idea, but it's obviously probably a Democratic candidate, right? Somewhere here in a
right.
congressional race?
Well, here's who we have. We have Barbara Boxer over here, who's horrific. We have Dianne Feinstein, who's probably worse than she is. And then that only leaves Schwarzenegger and Villaretardo. All of them are fucking not worthy of raising a fucking penny for. I wouldn't take what was in my fucking ashtray, or even Dawson's, which is, has nothing but roach clips in it, and give it to those fucking idiots. By the way, here's all you need to know. California better before these fucking charlatans got to town, or worse? Obviously, it's worse. The place is a dump. Barack needs to go the fuck back to the Oval Office and get some shit done.
Yeah, the vacation, you're right, don't mind. They've got Camp David and designated places for that. But the interruption of daily life for millions, and maybe the busiest intersections in the United States.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, these are major
and who the
traffic
fuck,
time, too.
And just make a phone call. How about you Skype him in? Does that work with black people?
No.
Okay.
They're always late.
Did not know that. No, not. I just meant I didn't know if it's a black and white technology and it didn't show up or
here
something.
Here I am being racist.
Oh.
Damn it.
They're always late. All right, so they're on rapper time.
That's right.
I wonder if Brock's on rapper time, too. Ooh. Either way, whoever you are, whatever side of the aisle you're on, let's go ahead and get to the halfway point of your contract. You have a 4-year contract. You've decided to start shopping around deals for other teams like you're a fucking free agent.
You have a no-trade clause.
19 months in your 48-month contract. Let's get busy. Yeah. And stop working for other players on other teams and other contracts just because you're both lefties. Fuck that. Get back to the fucking Oval Office and get busy. And how come we never say anything about it? It's like, oh, Barack Obama made a campaign stop. He's swinging by California to do a fundraiser. It's $5,000 a plate for Dianne Feinstein. Get the fuck back to Washington and get the fuck to work. Or do we not have crime, poverty, is everyone employed? What's going on? And let me say this, too. How much difference do these guys make? Remember, we're all bracing ourselves for the big change. What was the big change that came in? Remember? It was time for change.
Yeah.
Getting big change.
Right, big
prepare
change.
For change. Yeah. Hope and change. Hope and change.
Right.
Maybe they meant like change.
That's all that's left in my pocket.
Hope and a little change.
A little bit of change.
All right, anyway, you can sleep here tonight, Bald Brian.
I might. How long do these things usually go, this extra content?
Two
questions. How long are they supposed to go? How long do you make them?
We far exceeded our allotment of time already.
That was your Adam Carolla Extra.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by Geico, because if you own or rent, then of course it's a lot of work, but let's make it easy for you, especially during this holiday season, by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a great thing because you already got so much going on right now. So this is what you do. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
It's Geico easy, Chris.
It sure is. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. That clip from August of 2010. What's up with Adam and Kenny Rogers?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, the weird one that always bothers me is he's never talked to Richard Gere, but he had Rod Stewart on Loveline. And he kind of explained to him where all the myth came from. And basically, with both guys, it seems to be they dabbled with Scientology or something early on and weren't interested, and then left. And then, so that's how that rumor started. So, Adam always has a question. How did everybody on the playground know the same thing? It's like, because Scientologists spread it intentionally to hurt and harm their careers because they didn't want to be Scientologists. I think that's what actually happened.
That's quite the conspiracy theory, Gio.
I'm pretty sure that's what Rod Stewart said to Adam on Loveline in 1997, but I could be wrong because we don't have all of it.
Right. All right, well, let's do another continuation from yesterday with a clip now featuring Lisa Lampanelli joining Teresa and Brian in studio.
Yeah, much lighter in spirit and pounds, Lisa Lampanelli. Kind of celebratory joining the show. She just sold out a bunch of shows, and it's Adam Carolla Show 376 back in 2010. Let's all flash back and listen, and we get the bonus content at the end. Enjoy.
Lisa Lampanelli, great to see you, beautiful.
Lisa, you look amazing. Congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
How's the marriage to Big Lou?
Yeah, it's Jimmy Big Balls right over there.
Oh, Jimmy Big Balls.
Big Balls. That's right.
He's still got the big balls.
Yeah.
Is your mic on?
Though.
Can I hear you?
I hear myself.
Oh, okay. Wait. Dawson's shaking his head. No.
Uh-oh. Hold on for you.
Let's make sure we're turned on.
Is it on?
Now, how's that?
I hear myself.
Now she's warming up.
Warming up.
There you go.
Jimmy Big Balls is with you?
Yeah, he is. Right there.
And by the way, when you lose, he lost 60 pounds. He looks amazing, but not an ounce from his scrotum. So his balls even got bigger, right?
Dude, every time I touch one, I feel like I'm Kobe Bryant getting ready to do a foul shot. Yeah. It's huge, man.
It's nice.
Well, I don't know if it's nice, but it's huge.
Right.
Now, did you guys have a big wedding?
No, it's October 2nd. We didn't have it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, it should be great. But we're not having any celebrities there because we don't have any friends.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We don't have any people who are that close to us who are celebrities.
Right.
So it's going to be a huge disappointment for everyone in my family.
Because they think they're going to meet Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah. Howard even said to me, he goes, please don't invite me. I go, no, I absolutely won't. I think that would be just a ploy for a gift because we're not hanging out buddies or anything. So, yeah, it'll be weird.
But there will be tears when the preacher says, Lisa, do you take Jimmy Big Balls?
Yeah, and those are really special vows.
I know. And then they announce that thing. I introduce the couple.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy does the first dance. Lisa and Mr. and Mrs.
Big Balls.
Balls.
I know, it's going to be
great.
Now,
where will the Big Balls be getting married?
Well, you're getting married in the Friars Club in New York City.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
Fitting.
It's great. But you know what? They were all soaking you. Once they find out you're a little well-known, they like to soak you for some dough.
Sure.
And I got this florist guy charging me like $67,000.
Yeah.
But I talked about him on Stern, got him down to 50. This is
50
what you
grand.
Have to do.
Yeah, I had the same problem. And the problem is there's always some chick who you know who spent more who says it's a bargain. So you go to Jimmy Big Balls and you go, hey, man, $50,000 for the floral arrangements. And he goes, what the fuck? And then you're lucky. Sheila's wedding was 75, and then all of a sudden he's supposed to feel good about himself.
Now, am I being obtuse, or do you actually mean $50,000?
Yeah, I do. But also, that includes the draping and the recarpeting
of
the place.
Holy shit!
Well, this is what I have such this is the Jew who runs the floral joint. Is this Jew guy I know from the Friars.
That's why you chewed him down.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe your hair hanging over the mic is not helping us.
I apologize.
Give it a flip.
I shouldn't have got those extensions.
There
is it all right?
Go. Yeah, that's
okay,
good.
Okay, sorry about that.
The Jew guy.
Oh, yeah. So I'm talking to him, and he does the Peninsula Flowers, the Beverly Hills. You know, he does a lot of big places. So I should have known early on it was going to be a lot of dough. Mm-hmm. So he says to us once, he goes, you know, it'd be beautiful if you recarpeted the Friars Club in Tiffany blue, because that's our color.
Right.
He goes, don't worry, it's not expensive. Guess how much it was.
How much?
One room, $11,000.
Really?
I said, cross that freaking thing off, Jew bastard. Don't think that's not enough to me.
Wow.
You know how long it takes me to earn $11,000?
Yeah.
Three minutes on stage.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to tell a lot.
But I like the Tiffany blue. Jokes.
It is Tiffany blue and ivory.
It's pretty, yeah.
Sure, it won't be as beautiful as Roberto's and Ali's wedding.
Did you watch?
Oh, my God, I was skeeving. I said this. I knew she's a shallow. Can you curse on this?
Go ahead. Say the fuck
she's a shallow twat, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
I knew she'd go for the good looks. Always go for the guy with the dead mother. Then you don't got a mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You should have got this Chris from Cape Cod. He's a sad sack. He's always, I love you, I love you already. How can you say I love you?
He already asked the dad for the daughter's hand in marriage.
And the dad wasn't buying it. The dad, by the way, in his Hawaiian shirt.
I know.
With Mexican slip covers.
The mom should have taken care of that Hawaiian shirt.
I know.
Hey, why isn't she straightening him out? And then, but by the way, all right, you're right. No mother-in-law is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Because you don't have some cunt coming over the house for the next 20 years going, meatloaf's a little dry, sweetie.
Yeah. It's always something
Did you
like
not
that.
Use the bouillon? I told you to use the Lowry seasoning salt. Did you get my email, sweetie? No, you don't have that cunt roaming around the house.
That's true.
But I'll tell you, the bad part is,
First time he fucks you, he cries.
Oh, totally crier, don't you? Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Not just the first time. Yeah, on the anniversary.
You're dodging tears and jizz.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's but you know what? At least you won't sing like that freaking Casey. Remember Casey was always singing?
I just watched the finale. It was my first episode ever.
Oh, what a freak. It was this guy. He kept breaking out in song and singing things like, "Hey, baby, it's my heart. Jump inside, stay a while." I swear to God, it was so disgusting. I would rather fuck Chaz Bono, okay? It was disgusting.
Hey,
yeah, there he is. Talking. There's Casey. Ooh, see that?
Yeah, wrote you a song.
Oh, my God, he was horrible. The songs were so bad, John Mayer wants to record them. Stinks. What can you do, though? I get caught up in those shows. Like, do you love those shows? You probably have more of a life than I do.
Well, what I do is I do the same. No, I do the same thing you do. So I think almost every comedian does is you sit down and you go, "Oh, for Christ's sake, can you believe The View? Oh, this show. So, this is horrible. Listen, sweetie, you see how bad this show?" 4 hours later, I'm still sitting there watching Hot Topics going, I would kill myself. Who watches this shit? But I'm at day number 7. I've grown a full beard. I have to put a diaper, an adult diaper on because I won't get up and walk into the next room. But I announced it. I haven't. Who watches this crap?
I know.
Well, I guess the answer is me. Like it's like who watches this shit? Meanwhile, I'm reciting a line and verse of every episode of The Bachelor ever done.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, I don't get caught up with The View because I hate all of them twats except for Joy Behar, who I find humorous.
Sure.
However, I got caught up in all those housewives on Bravo because they put a marathon on them.
Yeah.
And they get very gangster on those New Jersey ones. Yeah. So I get very into that because, you know.
You got the blue balls guy.
Yeah. No, big balls, not blue balls.
When they go blue, you better run.
Yeah.
Like somebody threw a grenade into your foxhole. Fucking, you're going to get fragged.
I
watch all those fucking. Well, that's what I do too. I watch the fucking Housewives.
I love them so
much. I sit there, and it's like, you know, it starts off with me just one eyebrow perpetually raised. Okay, you know, this is bullshit. Who wastes your times? I can't believe you yentas do this. This is what happens. I got to go out and earn a living. You sit around and watch this bullshit. Cut to 15 minutes later. It's like, I think Bethany's being a bitch.
No, she's in the
wrong. She's in the wrong. She's wrong. She should have never showed up at their island estate in Aruba.
Right.
Unannounced. That was uncalled for.
That was Jill.
I'm taking Bethany's side on this one.
I have to admit, I took Bethany's side too.
And now I'm watching her give birth.
Yes.
No matter how scripted The Bachelorette is, you still find yourself asking, who's she going to choose?
Yeah.
As though this were really a decision. As though she didn't know from the first day.
I know. I mean, you see that hot Latino compared to those are jerks. And by the way, where was the black contestant on The Bachelor?
What happened? They usually toss a brother in one bone. Yeah.
Isn't that strange that they still segregate the dating shows?
Yep. I feel Allie's a racist.
They usually... They'll almost always toss in a brother. Mm-hmm. And listen... If you gamble on it like I do, if you do go to the sports book at Binion's and gamble on this one, put everything you got that the brother makes it past the first round.
You can't get rid of him on the first.
No.
Chick that's going to go right up to the black guy and go, "Hey, Snipes, you're out of here."
Yeah, exactly.
No fucking way. I'm not. My dad's from the Boston area. I'm not going to have him vomit all over the TV set. Here you go. Here's a black rose. Hit the road.
It's so true.
No, he gets eliminated in the second round, but you could never fucking call him out of the first round because it's blatantly racist.
I would have loved it if they had a black, like, Little John or something on with
some guy with a chalice.
Yeah.
how did drinking champagne out of a chalice the whole time.
How did Big Balls get his nickname?
He has huge balls.
They're actually, I mean, that's
No. I'm not freaking kidding you. He won't show them, but they are very enormous.
If you had to compare them to...
You can Google Earth them if you want to see them.
To a citrus fruit.
Okay. Like a mango.
What?
Each one about this big. I'm like that big. Is that true, honey? Yes, it's true. They're really, really big. And he says they get bigger when he gets sick. So he's going to bounce all the way to the doctor like a hippity hop on these things.
It gets bigger?
Yeah.
What's he do, a water displacement test?
Wait a second. Because you know what? You get feverish, and then they hang lower.
Right.
Really?
Warm.
Sometimes
don't
they'll go,
hang lower when
like,
you're warm?
Yeah, like he likes a lot of air conditioning on, and I get cold quickly, so I always turn it off. And he goes, "Honey, come on. my balls are stuck to my leg. You got to turn the AC on. It's such a romantic
When you met, did he introduce himself as...
As Mr. Big Balls? No, Howard Stern actually gave him that nickname because of my big mouth. Mm-hmm. Poor Jimmy. He was just known as Jimmy before me. Now he's world-famous Big Balls.
Right.
Now, if there's...
This is tough on his family. His brother, Dave, massive foreskin.
Oh, God, I know.
His brother, Sheila, huge labia.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, it's embarrassing.
It's tough.
Embarrassing.
Now, if the flowers alone are 50 grand.
Grandma beef curtains.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Beatrice is not happy about this.
No. That's
not happy.
That was a private thing for Beatrice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
This thing has got to be like platinum weddings.
It's going to be, it's going to be really elaborate and nice.
Vera Wang?
No, screw her. She only makes dresses for really skinny chicks, you know? And I'm not at that level. You know what I'm saying? I went to Kleinfeld's, you know, the Jew place where they have Say Yes to the
Dress. The TLC show, yeah.
Yes, and they were very nice to me. And because they know I have a big mouth and I will talk shit about them, like on the Tonight Show or Stern.
Take care of you.
Dude, 20% off everything.
Really?
It's the greatest. The impending
threat
of
talking. Let me tell you how that works.
Talking.
Here comes Lampinelli. Raise everything 20%.
You make a good point. Them Jews know how to work it.
I love the Forgotten Woman. That's my favorite fat broad place. Really? You're naming it after what you are? Yeah, it's already sad enough, isn't it?
No. The best was Dress Barn.
Really?
Dress Barn. Went into it. They try to milk you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's freaking horrifying.
Because you're a cow coming to the barn.
Is that disgusting?
It's so terrible.
Dress Barn? Oh, I tell you, I got a big and tall place called Big Sir. That I'm in love with. It doesn't exist, but I want to put on 100 pounds just to open Big Sir with the big fiberglass sequoia tree in front. You know what I mean? Right, that'd make a guy feel good about himself.
Yeah, like he's a giant mountain.
Spell Sir. I don't know how they spell the Sir in
S-U-R.
Big Sir.
S-U-R.
Oh, we spell it differently. We do the S-I-R thing.
Yeah
that's big, like a... Play on
Big
words.
Sir.
That's very
guys
nice.
Would feel good. It feels like the Paul Bunyan collection, you know. I don't do the lard ass stuff, you know what I mean?
Sure. Abe Lincoln was tall.
Yeah.
They have a line of suits named after him.
Big well, there's a really tall. Good store, a really Portly. Big, good, big and tall one called Rochester's where all the football players shop at. So at least you know it's like, at least it's not just because you're a fat bastard.
Right.
So you go in there and you feel okay about yourself.
Sure. And you know, all the models, by the way, all the plus size models, always have a non-plus size cabeza. The head is small. The face is not fat. They never have the fat face. Yeah. They have the small face and sort of the wide ass. But they always have the thin, pretty little face. As a matter of fact, I would wager that if you took most of the plus size models and just did a headshot of them, you would not know there were plus size models.
Right, right. Yeah, there's always one on Tyra's show, and I can never tell which one it is because she's 7 pounds more than the others.
Yeah, I know. It's huge. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny and ironic? Big Balls, before he met me, had done a few modeling gigs for this fat store called Casual Mail.
Mm-hmm.
So then he didn't get any more work with them because then they started to use skinny models.
He worked for the Forgotten Scrotum. I saw the catalog.
But like, isn't that terrible? Like, even fat catalogs now have thin people in them because they're like, clothes just don't look that good on fat
people. Like imagine this with twice as much fabric and your fat ass in it.
And I like that they charge more for big clothes because, you know, they have to use more material.
Right, so that's true.
But they don't charge less. See, I feel the same way. You know when you go to the car wash? And they go, we charge $3 extra for vans.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you drive a Mini Cooper, they don't knock $3 off.
No, of course not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
it should work both ways.
If you're getting a body scrub, and there's more of you to scrub, they don't charge more.
Especially when they're using that brush with the stick on it.
The loofah.
That's bad.
Yeah, when the stick comes out, that's bad times.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of phone calls here. People want some relationship advice.
Oh,
I feel like we're in a very...
Well, Lisa's on the cusp, married life.
Yes.
Tying
very good at this.
Hey, Alex.
Hello.
You have a question?
I do have a question.
What's going on?
Is this Adam?
Yeah, you have Teresa and Lisa Lampinelli and Bald Brian.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, I've got a girlfriend, and she's French-Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimate French-Canadian, speaks French, her whole family speaks French. And whenever I'm around them, they'll switch mid-conversation to speaking French.
Uh-huh, yeah. They're talking about you. Obviously. I mean, look, my grandparents, who spoke Hungarian, would do that when they talked about a Christmas present or some bullshit that they didn't want the grandkids to hear about. They just bust into Hungarian. So you do that. You do it too, by the way. I do it all the time. And by the way, I'd be saying, I'm just fucking with this person in this room in French.
Right,
look at their face right now. Isn't it funny? They think we're talking about them. We are, but we're really just fucking with them.
Right.
So that makes you think that you don't trust her? Because maybe her parents are just more comfortable with that language.
I wouldn't say I don't trust her. I'm just more curious if it's something that I should be worried about. Because, I mean, they won't just be talking amongst each other and then switch to French. They'll be talking to me directly and then accidentally switch to French. And I'll have to be like, hey, what's going on here? You know, I don't speak that language.
All right, I'll tell you what you should do. Tell them you bought those cassettes, Rosetta Stone, and you've learned to, you know, you ever hear those commercials? Like, you can speak fluent Romanian in 2 hours. Like, you know, that shit with the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, they sell at the airport.
Tell them you now understand French. You didn't learn to speak it, but you heard all the cassettes, and you now understand it quite well.
Cassettes.
Whatever. Whatever they're putting it on these days. The 8-tracks, the reel-to-reel. Point is, tell them you've gone through the Rosetta Stone series. You now understand French, and see if they knock it off in front of you. Either way, listen, here, let me just say this. Hold on a second. You guys, everyone back me up. He's 19. His girlfriend's 18, 19, 20. Remember when you lived and died with all that shit? Meanwhile, you went through 10 other people, and then you got married, and you don't even fucking remember it. And I wish someone would have just tapped me on the shoulder when I was going out of my mind when I was 19, or wondering if this was unrequited love, or what's she doing talking to that guy. And someone should just, I wish I could have just come from the future, tapped me on the shoulder and go, by the way, this relationship, it's going to last another 9 weeks. So stop fretting, start fucking, don't forget to pull out, and enjoy. You know what I mean? You're 19. It's not going to last.
I know.
You're not going to marry this person.
At that point, though, you just feel like you live and die for that.
I know. Why aren't more people, and maybe your dad should be doing this, but just tapping you on the shoulder and going, listen, nothing personal, but you're not going to marry this person. Have fun. Put on a condom. And you know what? Enjoy.
Right.
You'll be with someone else in 6 months and with someone else in 6 months after that. And eventually, God willing, you get married in 10 years from now.
Right.
You're 19. Don't fret. All right, let's...
But they are talking about...
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Yeah. Oh. You got one you like, T? You see someone up there you like?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, line two, I think that's something you could address personally.
All right, let's go to line four and talk to Nick. Nick?
Hey, Ace Man.
What's going on?
I'm a big fan of the show. I've been listening to the whole network. I love the whole network. I love your show. It's great. Teresa, Brian, I love it every day.
Thanks, Nick. What's up?
Wrong! You actually really stole my thunder because I'm an 18-year-old in a relationship, actually. So.
And your hormones are going nuts and you're all caught up in everything. And what's up?
No, everything's actually been going good. My question was, I'm going off to college in a few weeks, and my girlfriend, she's actually got me in high school. And, you know, a lot of people didn't give me crap because I'm going to be staying with her, you know, while I'm away at college. I mean, because, you know, I mean, I know that this isn't going to last forever, but I really like her.
You're staying with her while you're off at college?
Yeah.
How's that work?
Well, I mean, I'm only, like, 6 hours away. I mean, we text. I mean, we got video chat.
No!
I mean, I'll come back in, like, Thanksgiving or so.
Oh, you mean you're staying together with her?
Yeah.
It's going to be a long-distance relationship.
All right. The problem with that is you're going to see tons of hot broads in college.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah. And they'll want you that much more because you'll go, oh, I got a girl back in my hometown.
Right,
I'm texting
her right now.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is, should you stay?
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe advice, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay together with her. But I mean,
yeah. But you don't really think you're going to make it through 4 years of college, or in your case, 9 years of college with her. Nick,
no.
Here's what I would...
I just want to enjoy the ride.
Well, here's what I would do. I wouldn't say, I'm dumping you and I'm going off to college. I would just go off to college.
See how it goes.
And if some really smart, cute chick who sits behind you in your chem lab is just fucking presents herself to you and you just hit it off and you're both going and she invites you to go to the sock hop or whatever the hell you do in college, then don't fight it. You know what I mean? Let nature sort of take its course. Don't go to college going, I'm definitely not going to break up with my girlfriend. And don't go to college going, I'm definitely going to meet someone in the first semester. Just go to college and see what happens. Brian?
I will say, too, as I remember, Teresa, back me up. There's no greater blizzard of hookup activity in the first couple weeks of freshman year. Because everyone's getting to know each other. Everyone's new. You're all excited to be there from other places.
There's a lot of drinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I like your advice. Just take it day by day and don't be tormented about what to do. You stay with her until it doesn't work anymore. Then you move on.
All right. We got a long distance. Now we'll go to two. Hey, Kurt. Oh, boy. Hmm. Kurt's taking a break in the middle of a relationship, wants to know if it's healthy. Normally, not. Sometimes it works. In my situation, in my case, it did work. But most of the time, when you say to your partner, let's take a break, it's for a reason.
Now, by the way, Lisa, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Adam's now married.
Yes, I did.
And they've been married for 12 years
between
or something?
Between 6 and 10 years.
And at what point did you take a break?
10 years ago?
So a couple years into it.
Yeah, maybe a couple years
what
into
it. What was the
it.
Reason?
I mean, honestly, my scrotum is so prodigious. No.
Papaya-like.
Really, what it was is, I met my wife right before I got famous. Mm. And I wanted to know what it was like to be single and famous.
Right.
And I don't mean, you know, go on a John Mayer fuckathon. Mm-hmm. I just mean live in my own house, drive my night. It was so, you see, you got to understand, as a guy, you know, driving a piece of shit pickup truck in the valley, living with a bunch of jack-offs in a rented house in North Hollywood, having a job where you made $9 an hour swinging a fucking hammer, you never enjoy that life.
Right.
And again, it's not so much about strange pussy. It's just about that fucking having some money in your wallet, having a car, having something in your glove box that says you're insured, driving something other than a piece of shitty Zuzu Trooper or a Nissan pickup truck with a bench seat, having tons of roommates and shitty apartments. Right. I just said, I want to know what it's like to fucking have some money in my wallet, a nice car in my garage, and a house up on the hill before I get married. And I didn't even really think of it that way. I just thought, I just want to fuck. I thought to myself, if I get married now, I'm always going to be wondering, what would it have been like just to be like David Schwimmer? Yeah.
That's the life. Well, like, did you bang a lot of chicks or not?
I didn't go on a tear, but I fooled around. I moved around a little bit. I enjoyed. It was more like it's weird, and I think life is a lot like this. It's the idea that you can. It's like a mixed martial artist. He doesn't beat guys up all day. Yeah. He just knows he can.
Yeah, if I want to punch you, or I could kick you, or I could get you in a chokehold, I could do anything.
But Chuck Liddell doesn't run around punching everyone. He just kind of knows he can.
Right.
And I sort of, like, I was in situations where, you know, like you're on MTV or you're on basic cable or wherever you're at. And, you know, chicks would hand you their phone numbers and, you know, say, hey, you want a party and stuff like that. And I was with someone and I wouldn't do it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was like, I wasn't one of those guys that would take everyone up on their offers. But I just thought, if I get married, I'm going to have this little thing in the back of my head that says, you know what, would have been like to hang around? Now I know it wasn't that great.
Right.
That's fine. Now I know.
So this turned out to be a really good decision for you.
I knew I'd be miserable either way.
Right. That's the good news.
That's the good news.
Was there a moment when you knew, okay, this is out of my system. Lynette always has been the one for me, and I'd like to be with her again. Now I've got to win her back?
Yeah, what you said.
Did you have to do a lot to get her to come back to you?
Yeah, I had to pick up the phone.
Oh, really?
It was heavy.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. There was a couple women passed out over it. So you had to get to the receiver.
Yeah. No, you know, she always wanted. She always believed that we should be together, and she was right. And,
she waited. She wasn't seeing other people.
No.
But if you found out she was, would you have been crestfallen?
You know, probably, like, you know, most guys, you have that fucking double standard. But no, the reality was is I didn't have a plan. That's the whole thing. Like, right. I wasn't like, we're going to break up for a year. I'm going to see people. You're not going to see people. We're going to get back together. That's bullshit. And that would never work anyway. And by the way, I can't tell people what to do. It's like, look, I'm not ready to get married. That's it. I just felt pure and simple. I'm just not ready to get married right now. Might we get married one day? I don't know. But right now, not going to get married. I didn't say I'm going to be single for a year. I just said we're breaking up.
Why didn't you just stay together and not get married for a while?
Well, we already were doing that.
He wanted to be messing around.
Oh, you wanted to really have freedom.
And see what was
but
what.
That was at least an honorable thing to do.
Yeah, rather than cheating.
Right.
But like it wasn't... it was... You know, part of it is messing around. And then the other part is just that thing of just like going, I just want to be single.
Right.
Like, you know that feeling that Teresa...
here's what I'm thinking about. And Lisa knows what I'm talking about because Lisa's been a different weight. And she's been this weight. And life is a lot different. And dating is a lot different when you're thin.
Well, I certainly wouldn't call myself thin, but I can get whites now. So there is a huge difference.
You're through the looking glass.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
I mean, it's a different...
But also, I've always been more comfortable in a relationship than out.
But
I've always been in, like, crappy codependent relationships from age 13 to 43.
Right.
Without a break. And then I had to take a year and a half off to be like, oh, okay, I got to be alone, figure out what I want, and then attract somebody nice. And so I just have a bonus that he's good looking and has a big set of nuts.
But also, I love Lynette, and I love her personality, and that's what I wanted. You know, I mean, you really have to, you know, if you're going to buy a car, you should definitely go drive a few cars and then get back to the Lexus, you know. I mean, in a bubble, you don't really know how good that car is.
I know. You hear stories about people who marry their high school sweetheart and that's the only person they've ever slept with.
Right.
Do you not wonder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this 19-year-old. You know, who's going to college. It's not going to work.
But again, it's this feeling, it's this weird feeling, and it's not weird, I don't explain it, and I know it keeps coming back to sex, but it's not sex per se, it's knowing that you're fucking in Vegas, and you're hanging with the boys, and you're pounding down some booze, and you're staying up till 3 a.m., and if some chick at the bar wants to party... You don't have to do that weird fucking thing where, oh, she sent over beer and, I don't want to think about this and this is bad. You just party. Doesn't mean you're fucking. It just means you have that sort of freedom. Hopefully getting a blowjob. But you just have that thing where you're not looking over your shoulder and feeling like you're stepping out or disappointing or guilty or whatever. And I just wanted that, like, hey, I want a year of travel and fun and fucking around. I got it out of my system. And
well, it worked for you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work for Kirk from L.A., who's 33.
No.
I feel you better break up now.
Right.
Admit it.
It's generally about, sour. I mean, Adam's the rare person who pulled it off, because remember when we were doing our KLSX show, I was dating a guy, and I kind of knew something was wrong, but I couldn't bring myself to, I didn't have the mango-sized balls to break up with him, so I just said, let's go on a three-month break, and just to take... To time off, they remember.
That's
because during it, then he met somebody else and fell in love, and then they got married.
Yeah.
Wow. While I was horribly alone.
I never used to have the balls to break up with anybody, so I would always behave like such a cunt that they'd break up with
me. That's what I would do.
Usually a dude move.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what guys do.
Yeah.
The guys just check out.
Right. Emotionally, they check out and they wait for their girlfriend to ask what's wrong.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then they do this thing where it's like, hey, if you keep this up, I'm going to dump you. And you get this response. All right. What are you going to do? Like, the lights just got shut off in here, by the way.
It suddenly got very
romantic.
Which,
by the way, this is nice. It should always be like this dim lighting.
It's even better. It looks so good.
I have bluffed. it's a horrible idea. Like, I really thought, I'm just going to startle him, you know, into being, you know, present in this relationship. So right. just one morning he's reading his paper and I just was like, you know what, this isn't working out. I'm going to call the landlord and we're going to, I'm going to move out because this is not, and I'm like waiting, like he's right. going to leap right. across, he's going to stop this because, you know, of course, this is,
no. Who would let Teresa go?
Yeah, nobody. Who would let me go? Right. It was like the relief that washed over his face. It was like, oh, wow.
Get. Yeah. I have yeah. actually wished guys in my heart would die so I didn't have to break up with them.
There is that thing.
That I'd always go, why can't they just be killed or have a heart attack? And be then taken. I don't have to have the nuts to break up with them.
Right.
But that's not a grown-up thing to do. And I thought once that I was at, you know, when I took my year and a half off from dating, and I started dating a couple nice guys here or there, and I said so maturely to one guy one day, this was, I was so proud of myself. I said, you know what? This just isn't working out, and, you know, I should be feeling more than I am after this long of a time. Like, it was mm-hmm. a couple months, and I didn't feel shit. Mm-hmm. And I go, so I think we shouldn't see each other. And I was so proud because it's so honest. And he goes, what's the matter, bitch? I ain't ghetto enough for you. And I was like, wow. Oh, now I'm just going to have to call you the N-word, okay?
Wow.
And he's like, hey, but you're so proud. And then you go, but I'm, he's not even going to appreciate this nice honesty.
No, this is, Adam has often said, often if you're firing somebody or breaking up with them, they right. show you why you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And how this they react. Is why, right.
This
right.
is why I'm not feeling anything for you because you're a douchebag.
Right, totally, totally. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
By the way, we haven't
even talked of Colin Powell. None of us know.
It was Colin. Yes, we haven't even talked about Lisa Lampanelli doing the roast.
Oh, Jesus,
my God.
Shit.
Yeah.
How did that? Yeah. Fuck.
For Hasselhoff.
God damn it.
Hasselhoff.
How'd that go?
It was great.
How was Seth MacFarlane?
Really good. I had.
Did he do a musical number?
No, he just, I don't think, no, he didn't even talk, he talked in a tiny bit of cartoon voice, like one line, but the rest of it was like regular stand-up and roasting. He's so good.
Really?
I thought he was going to bomb, only because that's not his venue, so I wrote like 10 lines to come up and say, wow, how that would have been funny if right. it was done in a cartoon voice or you know, something like that. But he did so well, I didn't know what the fuck to say about him. It was really, it's hard to pick on a guy, he's good-looking, successful, and smart,
I know.
He dresses well. So what the fuck was I supposed to say?
What is that?
And his hair looks good.
I know.
Because he had a fucking hair. I saw him Saturday night and a hairdresser showed up at his house.
Oh, okay.
You know you've arrived when the, you know, I go
like
to, the guy from Fantastic Sam's doesn't swing by my place.
No.
I have to go to him.
Well, you know, he, and that's the thing about him. I kept texting the producer, Joel, going, is he bald? So at least I could do a bald
something.
Joke.
Right.
Is his head huge? You right. know, because I heard maybe he had a big head and it, nothing. So I didn't know what to say. So all I said is, big hand for Seth MacFarlane. His head is as big as my twat. And I figured I'd just get a laugh with the word
right.
twat.
Yeah.
Thank God I did. And I moved right on
to
Hasselhoff.
You had to throw yourself under the bus.
Oh, wow.
How
not?
Was your Hasselhoff material?
Oh, my God, it was really fun. Let me tell you something. There's so much because he's the drunk.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And he's got the hamburger video.
Sure.
He's got the bad acting, the bad singing. I mean,
jump
it's just like.
Car.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and get this. God forbid there would be a microphone in front of him that he didn't grab and start singing. He sings on the way into the roast. He sings on the way out.
It's
sober?
Insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And
it's crazy.
He did a pilot with me for Top Gear. He was the guest on a Top Gear pilot I shot on NBC a few years ago. He brought headshots with him. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the world. I got a fucking liquor store down the street from me. The guy begged me for 6 years for a headshot.
Right.
Every time I came in, hey, Mr. Adam, where's your headshot? I'm like, I don't carry one. I don't have one. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't walk around with a pile of headshots. There are guys who, he shows up, you know, shirts unbuttoned down to the navel, circa 1989. Really? You're bringing a pile of headshots?
Oh, wait till you see the outfit, too.
Oh. Lisa,
it's like
there?
Some kind of shark skin jacket.
So first off,
okay.
How badly did you have to pee?
Oh, my God. I was just talking about that because I wear Spanx and a lot of them. Like that bitch on that New Jersey Housewives, you know, the redheaded one. She had to wear 12 Spanx. I wear a lot to suck me in and give me a waist, right?
Right.
So you can't get them off. So the whole time, I'm like, you know what?
You
and you start
pee.
Getting a headache, and then you start getting hungry because you forgot to eat, and it's the worst thing ever. But thank God I went first.
Oh, you went first?
Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm not doing last again.
Yeah, everyone uses your jokes up.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
how many fucking hamburger jokes?
Right.
I mean, it's impossible.
Right. And it used to be, no lie, when I closed the roast, I would have 30 pages double space. This time, 9. And I did every single one of my jokes. Seth did step on one of my Holocaust references because he's being in Germany
stuff.
But I did it anyway. I plowed through.
Was there the
it
joke?
It was the easiest roast for me ever.
Because you were first and you had everything.
And you don't have to just sit there and stew in your Spanx.
Wow, I was anyway.
No,
it's horrible.
It's horrible.
You sit there and... Adam, watch any roast. If they show a wide angle shot, you will always see me going like this, writing, and just going, I'm going to kill myself. Because, you know, all these guys are good.
Sure.
Ross is good. Giraldo's good.
Giraldo's great.
Oh, my God. So it was really
fun. Now, where
were
you for Jones' roast?
Oh, okay. Well, I had been roastmaster for Larry the Cable Guy. Like 6 months before
it's
that.
It's going to be on your tombstone.
It's a resume. It's what we call a resume changer. So I'd done that. And then the Joan Rivers roast came up, but I was, like, really busy with, like, this other stuff. And I was like, well, if they're not going to let me be Roastmaster, I really don't want to do it. It's not worth my time. So I Twittered, like, somebody said, oh, are you doing the Joan roast? And I said, no, if I can't be Roastmaster, I really don't want to do it. I have other things to do this summer. Well, there's an onslaught then of hatred towards me because I'm a diva. And I'm like, fuck all you cunts. Because let me tell you, I get to say no. I get to not say yes to everything. And by the way, Adam, I know what shows are not going to get ratings. Mm-hmm. I knew in my gut this roast of Joan will not get anybody to watch it.
That's nice.
Was
it'll
that
be like
rated?
Three old people in four feds.
Well, it's sad.
He's gay.
It's sad, but, you know, you roast one of the blue-collar guys, and it's the highest rated thing on Comedy Central.
Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy is still the highest rated. Mm-hmm.
Sad testimonial, but yes, Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson was the second highest, I think. And, oh no, Flavor Flav was the second highest. I think the classier you are, the higher the ratings.
Now, so how I did Pam, I did Carson Daly, by the way, and I think that was MTV and Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. But, and it's its own little animal, those rows. When does it air?
It's Sunday, August 15th.
And
Comedy Central.
How long was the actual roast and what will they cut it down to?
I think it was not that much longer than it's going to be.
Really?
It was like maybe 2.5 hours, and I think they do it for an hour and a half.
So Dick Gregory didn't do an hour and fucking 45 minutes on what a social pioneer
Hasselhoff
was?
No. You know what's funny about this? This was the first roast I've ever been at because you were at the Pam one, and you know how much a few of the people sucked ass. No one sucked.
Well, I think they finally weeded out. And also, you tell me, because it is weird in life how you would think, like, one time I took a flight to Denver, and it was on a smaller jet. And as we're preparing to land in Denver, the landing gear was a little bit sticky, and when it came out with a pop. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that thing where they activate the landing gear and it does pop and it popped and everyone in the fucking plane went like you just when you're coming in and it's a little bumpy and you're a little on your nerve and you've lost your buzz and that pop everyone scared the shit out of everyone in the plane. I got on the same plane the following day, took it back to LA. I was waiting for the pop and sure enough it popped and sure enough everyone in the plane went again and I thought, why the fuck doesn't the cunt stewardess say, you're gonna hear a little pop, don't be, it's just the landing gear, nothing's wrong with the plane.
Right.
And the roast, people do 25 minutes and they're only gonna use 4 minutes or 3.5 minutes. Why doesn't some executive from Comedy Central or wherever say, listen everyone, please, I swear to fuck, if you go over 8 minutes, we will pull the fucking mic out from your hand. Like, listen, come up with your best 10 jokes. Do them. Let's not have to edit out all your shit.
I agree.
Nobody wants you up there for 23 minutes fucking scatting and improvising.
Well, here's what I
and
think.
Working the crowd.
They do that with me. I know they timed me 2 days in a row. And to cut it down to 7.5, you know? So they were pretty strict with me. But there's some people, I think they're just afraid of alienating, and they're like, you know what? Better we don't, like, drill them.
But nobody wants to hear Eddie Griffin get up there and go, who the fuck we roasted?
Oh, my God.
Who is the fuck is that? What's going on? And you realize, I did it with, like, Eddie Griffin. I realized, I don't think he knew who he was roasting.
Blacks are off. No, this is not racist. Because the only black on the dais for David Hasselhoff with George Hamilton. But I've done roasts with black people. We did a bunch of roasts for Howard Stern. And we roasted Daniel Carver, the KKK guy. Mm-hmm. And he had a bunch of black guys doing it. I don't think black guys I mean, really know the roasting art. Like, unless they really have studied it.
It's going to start off bad for the blacks, but if Ken Burns is listening, who loves the blacks, it's going to come around. I've said it a million times. The blacks have the improvised gene, and the Jews have the prep gene. The Jeff Rosses and the Sarah Silvermans are all working the fuck out of their jokes before they get out there. And the aforementioned Eddie Griffin and the aforementioned Dick Gregory are scatting.
Right.
And it's good for jazz music. It's not good for roasting.
Right.
You want a whole dais filled with Jews.
Or you get a Lenny Kravitz, right? I mean, you get half and half.
There's a guy who can read music and jam. I don't know. But the point
isn't rap music really roasting a lot of times? Aren't you essentially roasting some other rapper and insulting him?
The problem with the roast
in rhyme
is you can rap in time. You can do it on the court. You can do it with a trumpet in your hand. And the roast feels like you can do it, but you can't.
Right.
You think, you know what? I'm funny. I'm a stand-up. I've done tons of crowd work. I'll just fucking get up there and it'll start flowing. For some reason, it ain't that. It's not even doing panel on a talk show. You can do panel on a talk show and just have some beats and just flow with it and improvise and what have you. The roast is its own animal, and if you don't prepare, it will eat you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this one, everybody was prepared.
Yes. How long did you spend on your Hasselhoff jokes?
Oh, my God, like a month. You really, to do this well, you have to prepare a month, you know?
Right.
And you have to, like, Comedy Central also, they have writers for all the celebrities, you know, like Pam Anderson, Jerry Springer, Hulk Hogan, who is hilarious. The only one who did kind of lousy, but they'll edit it to look good. Jerry Springer was a little bit, like, stuttery, but it's not like he has a TV show every day to practice. Oh, yes, he does.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
I know. So it's ridiculous. But they prepare for those people, but we really have to work on our own stuff. You know, hire our own people to help us when we're stuck. So, yeah, it's a big ordeal.
Yeah. And did you get picked on much?
Oh, my God. It was like the Lisa roast. It was the best night of my life. But can I tell you, Adam? Mm. I don't lie to you. I tell this. Some of them jokes hurt my feelings. But may I tell you, this roast, the jokes were so funny, nothing hurt my feelings. I couldn't believe it. If the joke's good, I don't care if it's a fat joke, an ugly joke, a cunt joke. If it's well written, I laugh my ass off. I cried when Gilbert Gottfried made fun of me. It was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
So if they're good, they're good.
Is it flattering even?
Because the more stage time you get, the more famous you get, and the more tickets you sell to your show at Club Nokia.
You've never been
in November
more delighted to be called a fat cunt.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate flattery.
Well, this is fat ugly cunt is huge.
You just sit there. Well, first off, all those things you suspected about yourself that you thought no one else really knew.
Yeah, it's true.
Whatever it is. Right. If you've got a weird hairline or bad hair plugs or big teeth or fat face or whatever, bad skin, whatever it is, whatever you think that other people somehow is flying under their radar, no. You will hear all about it. But I would just have to sit here and hear 2,000 butt-fucking Jimmy Kimmel jokes, you know.
I did that to you.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it was great.
That's all anyone does.
My best thing I ever said to you was, could you have been on Baywatch? No, because to see you in a Speedo would look like a squirrel fighting its way out of a Crown Royal bag. That is the best fucking joke.
Yeah, but it's if you're on the dais, you're gonna get
it.
It's essentially Hasselhoff is ground zero, but you're in one of the neighboring buildings. You're going down too. It's just you get to see the first one go down on your way down. Did anyone's
feelings get hurt?
Yes, someone almost cried. It was really, I mean, it was retarded. Okay. There are things when you're a woman comic or a woman on a dais, you know there are five categories for women.
Right.
You either say they're fat, ugly, hooer, unfunny, or stupid.
Three times, fool.
I'm smart. Sure. I'm funny, and I'm not really a hooer anymore. Right. So I get the fat and ugly.
She wants a whore, always a whore. At least fat and ugly.
Right.
You're not a five-tool player.
Right. I'm two. Poor Pam Anderson. For some reason,
did you throw in old?
No.
Okay.
But for some reason, Pam, does not understand why people joke about her stretched out twat. And I put that in quotes because I don't think she really has a stretched out twat, but they joke about it because it's a broad category. You know, what else are you really going to say about her? She still looks good.
She's been with a guy great with a tits.
She's got a huge cock.
Seen it. Right.
So you know what? But she, every time somebody said it, she would look at me or at Hamilton or at somebody else and go, "What? Are you kidding me? I will never get a date after this."
Yeah.
And I'm going through, really, that's going to discourage, you know, mediocre rockers
from
banging.
Imagine if we got Tommy's cock together with Jimmy's ball.
Oh, my God.
The ultimate crime-fighting duo. Take over the city. And send up the cock and ball signals. Oh, the fucking Joker's taking over Gotham Bank again.
Would that be like a murderer's row?
To the cock and ball mobile.
Oh, yeah.
It just
astounds me how you're shocked when you're made fun of.
What do you think's going to happen?
You know, I actually went to therapy a week before the roast and talked about...
Tried to bank some therapy?
Totally.
You have to bank it. Because when you know something traumatic.
Definitely, because I know most of the guys don't mean what they say, but it's still like, you know, I was like, oh, if it's not funny, it's going to hurt my feelings. And thank God it was really funny.
So you actually went to a preparatory therapy.
Oh, yeah. Session. And I was like, look, man, I'm working on myself so hard with the weight, and I'm trying to lose weight, and blah, 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 blah. But they're going to say I'm fat, and I'm a cunt, and everything else. And you just go, what? I'm saying so much worse about them.
And also,
I forget that
it was
part.
Interesting, the role-playing with the therapist, the guy with the tweed jacket. So,
you
fat, hook-nosed cunt.
Well, hook nose now?
Stop blaming your fucking parents, you smelly cunt.
Now I'm a smelly cunt. What just happened?
When are you going to get your fat ass self-actualized?
It's so true. So true.
Well, I have... I remember poor fucking... Now, you can get sort of fragged by other people when you're up there, or you can do what Courtney Love did to her drunken ass when we did...
Pam's
roast, which is she kept, like, standing up. And so, essentially, whoever's up on stage, you're a cougar on a trail, and people are just sort of joggers, and you're looking for movement. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're talking about Pam Anderson, but Courtney Love stands up behind you.
You gotta take her down.
You gotta fucking take her down. And I said to Courtney about the fifth time she stood up and sort of threatened to pull her shirt off or something... I said, Courtney, it's got to be really confusing because you spent the better part of your early career on stage with everyone yelling, "Show us your tits," and now you stand up and you pretend to flash and everyone yells, "Dear God, no," and starts running for the exit. Like, you know you fucking slid off the deep end when you're threatening to pull your shirt off as a chick and a bunch of guys at spring break are going, "No, ma'am, ma'am, put the blouse down and walk away."
Lisa, who was it that said to Courtney Love, "You look worse than"?
I think it was Jeffrey Ross.
That was easily
that was
the
still,
meanest.
That's oh the best God. Joke in
but
recent Ross history.
You know, well, listen,
but
got
we,
it.
We, Gilbert Godfrey did 20 minutes on 9/11, eight days after 9/11. I mean, the Hugh Hefner roast was... It was in September. I swear to fuck. I mean...
I think it was October 1st.
Or October 1st. Yeah. It was... Not 3 weeks from 9/11. He did 20 minutes on, you know, burning flesh and guys jumping from buildings.
Well, he said something like, "I was going to take a flight, but it stopped at the Empire State Building" or something. And, like, everybody goes, "Too soon." And they're just screaming, "Too soon, too soon." And I wasn't even a comic back then. I was, like, just sitting in the audience. And, oh, my God, he goes right into that Aristocrats
that's
and
when
saves
he got into
himself.
Aristocrats.
You know, that Aristocrats joke.
Yeah.
That was brutal, man.
Yeah. All right. And I'm sure you saw Dick Gregory do 20 minutes
oh
on
my God, how horrifying.
Hefner being a racial pioneer.
Right.
Anyway, Lisa Lampanelli headlining Club Nokia, by the way.
And now, your Adam Carolla Extra.
All right, time for your bonus content. I'm lazy, so I just kept Lisa Lampanelli behind because she's funny.
Sure.
Normally, I make up shit
and
I talk about it. It's essentially like writing a little three-minute stand-up routine.
Right. Sure, sure.
But I thought Lampanelli's here.
I'll wing it.
Let her do the heavy lifting.
What do you want to know? Well, I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Give me a couple jokes from your act.
Okay, from my act?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's see. I talk about getting married, and I say, you know, what the difference is. You know what difference? Because seriously, how different is it from going to dating a black guy to dating a white guy? Am I right? Did you know people go someplace between 9 and 5 every day? I have no idea.
I don't go right from black dudes to white dudes because I'll get the bends. I stop at Puerto Rican.
They are the gateway drug. Of the,
because otherwise it's like coming up too fast from a dive. You'll get nitrogen bubbles in your bloodstream.
It's also on the weight loss scale. It's like you get the blacks first when you got the big ass, then you a little bit of weight loss, you get the lighter spicks, then you get a little bit thinner, you get a chubby white.
I was thinking about the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about their ass and how they have huge asses.
Yeah.
And then I thought, now, this is a chicken or the egg kind of, or this is the chicken or the waffle conversation. Well, I love getting racist with Lisa Lampanelli.
Why not?
But what I'm saying is does Kim Kardashian date black athletes because they love her ass or because she loves black dudes? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd blow Reggie Bush.
Sure.
And the new guy from the Cowboys ain't chopped liver either. I mean, these are beautiful looking Nubian dudes.
Right.
But what I'm saying is she's not black. Why does she like black guys? And maybe, like, let's just say Asian chicks really appreciated guys with huge eyebrows.
Right.
I would, in horse teeth, I would probably, in a Jufro and a hairy ass, man. I would probably just date Asian chicks because it'd be like, they fucking worship me.
Yeah.
If you're Kim Kardashian and you have just brothers just literally worshiping your ass.
Yeah, you might as well.
Might as well.
Yeah, but don't you think white guys worship her too? I mean, she's like beyond good looking.
White guys would definitely be into her, but she has her pick of the entire NFL.
Yeah.
Whereas if you want to deal with Whitey, like she's not dating Leonardo DiCaprio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's some white dudes who throw a bone at her. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't think every white guy would. There are a lot of white guys. It's too much ass for them to handle.
They could not handle that.
They couldn't handle that much ass.
I can't even think of other than a guy in sports, it'd be hard to say a white guy who could handle her. Maybe like a Vin Diesel type.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's not going to be him. Yeah. Because he's gay. No, I'm just kidding. Did you have a suspicion about him sometimes?
I have this thing about Vin Diesel. I have my suspicions. It's sort of like the neighbor who's the serial killer, where you say he's real quiet and kept to himself.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what's up with Vin Diesel? How come I never see him anywhere? I never see him on a show. I play in all the celebrity softball games. And not like, hey, you're on Vin Diesel's team this year.
Yeah,
he's not never. I don't see him popping up on the Grove or anywhere. Like, where's Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
Is he going to some sort of locker until they do? And then at some point, his agent is like, Vin, we're doing Fast and Furious 9. Come out of your locker. And then he comes out and he does that thing where he sees daylight. It's like in Cool Hand Luke where he's like been in the hole. Right. He's like, what? What day is it? What year is it? Just getting the slammed Acura. We're making another movie. And then he goes back into some sort of bunker.
Yeah.
Where's Vin Diesel hiding?
I don't know.
Is that a kind of thing where it's like, okay, you're friends with Howard Stern. I'm friends with Howard Stern. I'm friends with Jimmy. You're friends with Jimmy. Jimmy's friends with Howard Stern. No one ever goes, you know, me and Vin Diesel were putting back a couple of pints. And he said, I was barbecuing with Vin. Vin Diesel. Vin asked me to come over to Martha's Vineyard and hang out. Who's friends with Vin Diesel?
No one.
He's never been on this show. You've been on the show 10 times. Diesel?
Never.
Zero.
Never.
Goose egg.
Well, you know what's weird, though, because I was on The Tonight Show with him because he was doing The Fast and the Furious, not to be confused with Fast and Furious.
No,
remember how
I
put the in?
They have a super high IQ audience. It will never confuse the two.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who I was really, you know, I'd heard rumors in the community, and by that community, I mean the Queens, and they're like, I bet he's gay. And I was even scared to make fun of it, even if it wasn't true, because I figured it's such a sensitive thing with him because so many people accuse him of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you've not met his wife, Lynn?
No. Is he married?
No, I just think it'd be funny if he's married to Lynn Diesel.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. No,
I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Lynn Diesel. No, I don't. I, I've, I'd be scared to ask him what his sexual proclivities were.
Yeah, because he's
but you do
in the face.
Look. He's not in a closet. He's in a vault that's under the sea.
Right.
I've never seen the guy. I like to just see him pop up on a commercial.
Right.
Hi, this is Vin Diesel for Proactive. You know, I used to have bat trouble skin with an oily T-zone. What's he? Shouldn't he pop up somewhere?
You would think. You know, do you hate most of the people, though, the celebrities that you run into? Because every time I do the Tonight Show, I meet the biggest a-holes. He was very nice to me. He was super cool, and I'm just joking about the gay thing.
Right.
But, like, I'll meet guys who will not make eye contact, Nicolas Cage. I will meet people who won't shake my hand, Kiefer Sutherland. But it's like, why?
Cage is just weird.
He is weird. And when I saw him with those freaking blonde extensions, he looked like the Real Housewife of Orange County.
There's just something wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't take that as a personal slight.
I shouldn't.
I just think. Yeah, don't. No, nothing personal. I've never met him. He's one of these guys. You know how when guys are weird, it's almost like it's just a full time job.
Oh yeah.
And then they make you seem weird. There's a car that's my favorite car. It's called a Lamborghini Miura. Mm-hmm. He had a Lamborghini Miura SV. It's a $1 million car. And I know he had it because I remember when it came up for sale. And it was Nick Cage's Lamborghini Miura. Okay. And so I interviewed him on the radio, phoner, one time. And I just thought, well, we don't have anything in common. And I don't know if we fuck the same chicks or any of that stuff.
Right.
But I do know this. He did have a Lamborghini SV. He did have a Miura. I have a Miura. Let's talk Muras. Yeah, I'm sure he loves that car. So it's like I go, Nick, you know, I heard your Lamborghini fan had a Miura. Where did you get it? What's up with that? And he acted like I fucking flung open a shower curtain and fucking screamed the Russians are coming or something. Yeah. Like he was like, what? I don't know about that. And I just thought, really? Like you couldn't even lean up and go like, hey, you have a Miura? I had one too. Yeah, it was an awesome car. I'm sad. I think I'm about getting another one. Like, it's so weird how weird is just weird full time.
Yeah, it's like they work at it and then they make us feel like assholes because we're not weird, because we're just like are sociable and can turn it on for the radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and we're not the genius types.
Yeah, we're not troubled.
You know,
they're troubled.
God forbid, you know.
Oh, he's miserable.
Oh, fuck him,
and
too.
Listen, and fuck all those people where somebody explains that they're miserable as a defense for them making you miserable. Like, where you go, well, that guy's a real dick. And they go, yeah, but you know what? He's really
so
troubled and miserable. Well, good. Why doesn't he fucking kill himself?
Yeah, kill yourself.
Now I'm miserable, too?
Right.
Good. Now two of us are miserable.
Right.
Now I'm miserable, and I'm going to make someone else miserable. It's going to be like that commercial for the shampoo.
And so on. Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, when you bump into those guys, because I don't live out here. I live in New York. We don't see anybody. We just have normal friends. But, oh, my God, here when you do those shows, you feel like such a dick because you want to like kind of josh with them and make fun of them a little bit, but in a good natured way. And they are so guarded.
Right.
Like when Kiefer and I were on The Tonight Show, I had these really funny jokes written about what a drunk he was.
Right.
And you'd think that's all out in the open. What does he give a shit? Right. It was like something like, you know, you're drunk when Billy Joel takes your keys at a party or an Andy Dick says, dude, you have a problem and stuff like that. They were like, absolutely not. We cannot joke with him about alcohol whatsoever. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's just, it's stupid. That's why I actually did appreciate the Hoff, because he said no. I can't believe I just called him. I'm such an asshole. But he actually said nothing's off limits. You can make fun of anything. Like, even the daughters, the two
Jesus
who were in
Christ.
The making.
I'm going to watch that. Lampinelli, thank you very much, by the way.
I had a blast.
Your website. Give a blast your website.
Sure.
People want to find your dates around the country.
Insultcomic.com. Come see me, bitches.
Lisa Lampinelli.
Woo.
That was your Adam Carolla Extra.
And that was Lisa Lampinelli in studio with Teresa, Brian, and Adam back in August of 2010. Plus a little bonus clip that you probably didn't hear.
Yeah, you had to go on a specific app, then go listen to it after you listen to the show. Based on the numbers I used to see, I figured every episode was getting like billions of downloads, and then every bonus content maybe like 2,000 listens. So nobody heard.
Come on, see? You're getting some of that exclusive stuff right here on Carolla Classics. That'll do it for part one of today's episode. Part two coming up next.
Get
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.